had the privilege this week of getting to spend some time with Stevie and Amy and hearing their heart. And we have, how many years, Stevie, have we been supporting you guys? 16 years. We've supported Amy, and you guys have been married how many years? 11. So 11 years. There you go. So we've been supporting them, and he's got some prayer cards with him, and a few of those, and we'd like for you to could do maybe I don't know if we'll have enough for each family, but there's Stevie and Amy, Levy and Ava, and we want to lift them up in prayer as they continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we want to be especially in prayer for is that God will make a way for Stevie and Amy to become permanent residents there in Australia and all that that involves. And I'm not sure if you want to share any more about that. But Stevie, come on and share with us this morning. We're so glad to have them with us. It's not maybe, what, every 3 years or 2 or 3 years you guys get to come. And so thank you, brother. We appreciate you and excited to hear from you this morning. All right.
Well, thank you so much for just having us, being able to be here today. I think it's just special as well. Just after the 20-year honoring brings just a gratefulness for me as well that we'll be a part of that. I got to be married into this family, which is wonderful. Thanks for giving us time as well to share. But just like Pastor Todd said, it's been 16 years today. Amy's been in missions through Youth of the Mission Perth. If you're wondering what we're with, if you haven't been here or kind of trying to remember what are these guys doing again, we are serving with Youth of the Mission in Perth. And for me, it's just a privilege to be here today as well. I'm hoping we can just continue on that honoring as well of what you guys are a part of as you're supporting and praying and standing with us. And to us, it's just a privilege to be here today. And what an entry in that way. I feel like it's just about, okay, let's see what God's been doing and what you guys being a part of as well. Can I just pray and invite him as well to come and share? Yeah, Lord, I want to just thank you for today again and just say, would you lead today? This one is to be about you, that you'll be glorified, that we would hear your stories, that we'd hear what's on your heart, but also what you do in the nations and what an amazing God you are. And I just want to honor you today and invite you to come and speak through this, through the pictures, through the words, that you'll be glorified in everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so short again, we're with Youth of the Mission in YOM Perth in Australia. So right on the other side of the world, about 12 hours difference. So we often kind of live our lives apart from each other. I feel like when you sleep, we eat. And when you work, we sleep. Anyway, so that's always a bit of a challenge of trying to keep up. But yeah, we have been with Youth of the Mission. I've been there for 18 years now. When I started in Youth of the Mission in Perth, and Amy left about 16 years ago, if I got that right. So Amy Grills, she was before she left. Now she's Amy Wassum, so she comes from the Grills clan, if you're wondering, and if you don't know her. So, I just want to explain, maybe starting off with a little bit of what we've, one of our highlights in the last 3 years, like Pastor Todd said, we're trying to come back more often, but it's been 3 years since last that it actually time-wise fit for us as well to get the whole family around the world. We also, because I'm not from America, as you can probably tell, last year that was a quiz. I'm originally from Switzerland, so we also visit our church in Switzerland that's supporting us, and splitting the time to make the most out of it often makes it a bit of a challenge to find enough time as well to actually spend some time with our family. That's why we would love to be here more often, and hopefully it won't be 3 years the next time again. But so one of our highlights in the last 3 years was we got to go on a little short-term outreach, we call it, in Nepal, and got to join a ministry. Am I not loud enough? I'm sorry. I'll try to talk up. We got to join a ministry that we run from YWAM Perth as well called Homes of Hope, which I think a lot of you probably heard before. That's a part of YWAM as well, a ministry that's established also on this side of the world quite strongly and building homes for people in need. In Nepal, there's opportunities after the earthquake, obviously, to build houses as well and other places. So we got to go for about 3 weeks to Nepal. and we got to build a house. We're going to show you a video, so I'm just explaining a little bit what's happening on the video so you get an idea, the pictures that actually mean something to you as well. So you're going to see a video of us building a house. Through that, we're getting the opportunity to share with lots of people in the town often as well, as we're not just building, but also getting to meet people about the gospel, obviously, and present God's love to them and giving a home. But we then also spend 1 week in just focusing on open airs and praying for people and just preaching the gospel to them, going from town to town and connecting local Christians with new believers or seeing new believers coming to know God and then being connected with the locals. So we're working through local Christians in there as well. So we're going to show a video. It's about 4 minutes long. It just shows you what we were a part of, and hopefully just you understand a bit more what those pictures maybe represent as you're watching it. Just a little bit of pictures of what it might look like. It's hard to describe when you're trying to do that from the front. So this is what maybe an outreach for us looks like a bit. You might wonder why you're picking 3 weeks out of the 3 years that they've been there. That's a bit short. What else do they do? But this is kind of what an outreach team looks like for often with our teams when we go out from YWAM. So this picture right there is a picture of the house that we build, in case you kind of didn't quite see the end product in the video. It's very short. That's the family that got to live in there afterwards. And obviously we didn't render it. There's no electrics and stuff in there. They're still going to have to get water, but it's giving them a place that they didn't have before, to be dry and warm and sleep and live in before they were in a shack that was kind of falling apart and it was not a nice place. So that's a little bit of the end product. If we go to the next picture, this is how we slept while we were there. It was the church building in that community that gave us space. So we just put up our mosquito nets and, you know, slept on the floor, everybody, and because they had quite a bit of mosquitoes, so we tried to protect us, but we slept pretty good. It was very hot, but that's how we were sleeping and how we spent the night. And we pack up again in the morning so that the church could be used again. The next picture, I couldn't but brag about my children, so I had to put one in there. Sorry. You see their son kissed, so they were on outreach with us. They were out there on the construction site, as you probably saw. Let's not look at safety and health kind of precautions. Hopefully you didn't catch that in the video. No, anyway, they were running around on the construction site with us and helping and digging and cleaning and whatever they could do as well. So they really enjoyed that. And the last one, Eva really loved the animals. There were lots of little goats, and one time she had three of those cats in her hands, and she really loved it, and she still wants to go back to Nepal now. She said she wants to go to see the goats, which there's goats other places too, but it's one of her highlights. So anyway, great. So why I'm sharing all this a little bit is this is just, we are just a part of a bigger family as well in YWAM Perth. YWAM Perth has about 300 to 400 full-time staff members and kids that's included in that as well. So we have over 100 kids that live with us. And we have probably around 150 students that come through YWAM Perth every quarter. So this is a pretty big family, and we're sending out probably around 80 teams every year to go into the nations. And so we were just one of those teams that did a little bit part, but there's many teams that keep going to Nepal, but also overall to other nations. In 2018, we went to about 27 nations with all the different teams, and we do that in partnership with the local church where we can, when there's existing local churches. Sometimes there is not in some of those nations, but we work with them. So as we go, we're opening doors for the local church as well that they couldn't necessarily open. I always say it's funny when you go to Nepal, sometimes you walk into public into government offices and you say, hey, we want to come and chat about something, and the doors are open and you're like, why did they talk to us? We didn't even say who we are or whatever. But sometimes different culture and why people have that ability to open doors that the local Christian could have never even gotten close to, that would have just shut doors. And so it gives lots of opportunities through the short-term outreaches as well to actually enable the local body to grow and be effective in their ministries as well, and giving them long-term things that they can work towards as well. So you wonder what I'm doing or what we're doing in all of that. I'm actually helping with finances, so I'm the finance responsible for YWAM Perth. We'll just keep the other picture up for now still. And So that itself is a pretty big job. That's why there's one of the reasons why I can't just kind of go for half a year and say, see you later, I'll be back later, and because the bills need to be paid. We rent about 70 houses and facilities to house everyone, to have everyone in a home. We feed everyone. Everyone gets fed twice a day. So the students and the staff, we're all getting meals for lunch and dinner. So someone has to do that. There has to be facilities for that. There's obviously training programs that we run year out and year in. So that doesn't ever really quite stop. We just constantly go. And my responsibility in that is to help with that so that it can continue, that we can send out those teams, that we can actually see ministry happening. So that's my role at the moment, and that's what I will be continue doing as I go back again. So that's what I'm doing at the moment. Just to give you a little bit of an idea of maybe what we've gone, I love hate statistics because there's a bit of love about it, but there's also hate about it. But statistics really don't quite display everything God's done and can't quite contain what God's doing. There's just so much in the background, but at the same time gives us a little bit of an idea of what he's doing way beyond of what we can capture. But just to give you an idea, in 2018, as I said, we went to about 27 nations. We saw over 3,300 people giving their lives to the Lord right then, right there, that we know of, that actually were doing that. So it can be way more than that. We've been able to reach over 49,000 people with the gospel presentations or sharing the gospel with them. We've been able to teach over 38,000 Christians in different ways of God's characters and his ways. And we prayed for over 22,000 people for their needs directly, for maybe a sore knee or for a back that's been in pain. So there's a lot of people we get to reach and we get to, just reach out to. So my privilege to be a part of all of that through a little part that I'm playing in the bigger picture. So maybe we can do the next picture. So we have a few focuses at the moment that I just want to highlight. That's why I'm in Perth. That we're part of one we call the Indian Ocean Gateway. If you can't see this picture and it's a bit blurry, then you might need to go check your eyesight. No, just kidding. It's a bad picture. So it's the only one I found, so don't worry about it. But it gives you a bit an idea what the Indian Ocean Gateway might look like, what we call the Indian Ocean Gateway. That's kind of our reach. Perth is right at the bottom right from your side. And it's our reach from there, what we kind of reaching those border nations of the Indian Ocean, but beyond. So pretty much anything that's on that picture, that's kind of the nations we focus on. That's including about 78 nations at the moment that we would like to send teams in. So that's including Middle East, that's including the 1040 window that a lot of people are familiar with. That's including a lot of nations that have no gospel at the moment either available. So just giving us a bit of strategic place. We can fly directly from Perth to South Africa and to Asia. So there's actually a quite an easy, quick route for us to all of those places. And that's one of our major focus as all from YWAM Perth that we're just sending teams into and trying to get into those nations at the moment. Another thing that I wanted to highlight as well as a whole thing is that we get to be a part of is something called Bible, oral Bible translation. Now we all know that there's still a lot of languages that don't have the Bible in their language, and we're getting there. It's getting there. Actually, there's a lot more. Wycliffe and other Bible translation networks believe that we could be done somewhere in the 2020s, that we could have been translating all the languages in the Bible to people that don't have that yet. One of the challenges is a lot of time those nations don't necessarily read or write, and even if we teach them how to read or write, or if we give them a language that there's scriptic languages that we can use to write Bibles in, it's still not quite in the way that they understand it, because they're oral cultures and they learn by hearing, and they actually tell stories, and how they really comprehend and how it becomes alive to them is often through the oral way. So we've had the privilege to start together with Wycliffe and other major Bible translation networks to look at oral translation. And that means we're recording the Bible in their language. If it's parts of the Bible, it may not be the full Bible, because that's quite a big doing, but actually parts of the Bibles we get to translate into their language. And how we do that is inviting groups of people that speak that language, and we take the Bible apart and look at the Greek and the Hebrew text and actually talk with them about the original text, finding out what does this mean in your culture, how would you translate that word, because often the words don't even exist. If you say love to a Nepali that we went to in one of the people group, we found out they don't even have a word for love. And you're like, well, how do you translate love to someone that doesn't have that in their words? So there's a big, as a whole base, that's what we're pushing at the moment as well, that we can get Bibles and then the teams can take them out and bring them to people that never heard the Bible in their own heart language. Focusing on Australia at the moment, because there's a lot of indigenous Aboriginals called that don't have any Bibles in their language yet either. It's all in English, and they understand English, but yet it's not quite the same as reading the Bible in your heart language. So it's one of the big pushes we have at the moment in Wyoming Perth. So part of that, really excited. Maybe just more a little bit about us as well. So, you know, as a family, you get to hear a bit what we do all through the day, so you're not just hearing about Wyoming Perth, but that's what we're a part of, and I really wanted to hope just give you a bit of picture as well, what's happening in the nations, what we're a part of, what you're a part of through the family. And this is where I would have loved Amy to share so if some of the details and some of my facts are not so right. No. She is my walking Google, I call her. She usually, she knows everything in detail, and I don't have to worry about keeping everything in my mind. I can just bring her with me, but I didn't bring her this time, so... Anyway, that's one of our prayer points, if you wonder. She has migraines, and unfortunately, she has one of those right now. And that's why she couldn't be here today. She sends her apologies as well. Really wanted to be here. It's obviously very sad. She also kind of grew up in the church, so most of her growing up was also in that church. So she's been here more than 16 years. But so she's very sad she can't be here, but hopefully next weekend we'll make it again, because we're still here next weekend as well. Anyway, so next picture. Let's see what we got. Which I got it in front of me as well. There we go. So one of the things Amy is heavily involved at the moment is we call it homeschooling, which as you look there, it's not quite the right word, but it is homeschooling as it's registered as homeschooling, but it's actually co-op. And Levy is now 5 years old, 5 and a half, sorry, Levy, you're getting older. And he gets to go to school in Australia. That's when the school age starts. So for us, we decided to go with homeschooling at the moment. The nice thing is on the community, we have a thing called co-op, and there's lots of other parents that have kids in the same age, so we get to do that together. But for Amy, that means most of the mornings. She is obviously now also a teacher, besides of doing ministry as well, but that's one of the pictures of homeschools. She will continue to do that. There's Levy and Eva. Eva gets to go along sometimes as well and, you know, start hearing a bit about the homeschooling as well. The nice thing is there's also kids in the same age as Eva in the homeschool parents that are connected, so then they also get to play together, and there's a bit of an opportunity for the younger kids to go outside and do things together as well, and it just works really well in how it's really set up for the moment. There you get a bit of an idea. So it's a classroom. We actually got a classroom on the base that we can be a part of, so though even it's homeschooling, we're actually not doing it at home, but it's registered as a homeschooling, and it's been half a year. It's been a new challenge for Amy and for me, obviously, as well. But Amy is the one who carries it and does most of it. And that's been what's just been new for us as well as a family, figuring this out, how to do that. But we have a lot of support because there's other families that have already done it, that walking with us that we can learn from. And there's even some trained teachers in homeschool as well that then help us to kind of do that. So it's been a lot of joy as well, discovering things with Levy and teaching, and but that's one of the things Amy does at the moment. Next picture, that's going to be the future thing she's going to be doing, dirty water. No, the ministry that she's going to try is called Appropriate Tech. For the ones who know, she's been doing accommodation a lot as well. She's done other things as well, but one of the major things was accommodation and finding housing and sleeping places for all the people that come. So that's, you know, that was a full-time job in a sense of people come constantly and go again, and sometimes they let you know, we're coming tomorrow, can we sleep somewhere? And you're like, great, we'll try to find a place. So she's been very busy with that besides of trying to do the homeschooling as well. And we're really glad that there's been a bit of change in that. There's someone else that's going to take that over. So hopefully she can train them in. But the future project for her will be Appropriate Tech Ministry, that we call it, or technology, short. And the goal is to really provide, again, those nations with the technology that's appropriate, that's the name of it. What that would mean like is to get technology that's affordable, that's possible to be built in the communities itself that we're bringing it to, that can be repaired and maintained with a low budget. So it's not something that they're depending on other people to come in the future again and come and fix it or looking for funding from external sources, but it's technology that will help them to develop in a way that they can build it themselves, they can multiply, they can teach others as well in the future and actually spread that technology among the nations, hopefully. And then one of the technologies we see up here is called a water filter, and that's one of the successful things that we've already been implementing in a lot of ways through Teams. It's basically all it is most of the things you see there. That's a blue barrel. You need some pipes, PVC pipes, you need sand, and you need gravel. And with that, you can make a filter that filters over 90% of all the bacteria and chemicals and anything out of the water and gives people water that's clean or mostly clean, way more clean than what they had before, and then gives them much better health, gives them the ability to then also work more, to be more productive because they actually feel healthy and strong. And water is one of those major problems in the nations where more people have access to mobile phones than to actually clean sanitation and clean water. So there's a massive need and there's a massive difference we can make with that. And obviously then gives us also the opportunity again to share with people about Jesus' love. So that's always the underlying thing that we do as well. We don't just bring them a technology, but we also want to bring them obviously Jesus' love and give the opportunity to share that with them as well. But she will be working with that ministry. If you go to the next picture, we have an improv kind of place at the moment where they get to try the technologies out and work on it and develop them and try to make them better. We just gotten given a new property where they'll be able to have a shed on it and actually space to do that. And Amy, for the ones who don't know it, she actually did a degree in environmental science and energy. So she has a lot of training in that area already that she will be able to be working in a lot more now frequently as well. So we're just excited that there's a new door that opened for her as well, for something that she is very passionate about, that she's came for with to YWAM Perth originally anyway, already with the passion to really see things transformed. And she'll be able to do that next to the homeschooling as well, because that's a bit easier to kind of slot in and out so she can schedule things a bit easier. And we're just excited about the new opportunities. So that's kind of what we're going back to. And I'm going to leave it with this for now, I think.
Would you share with them the challenge that you have as far as becoming a citizen and, you know, just so we can pray and some of the needs that are along with that?
So, like we said, I've been there for 18 years in Australia, but we're still just on a temporary visa all the time. So every 2 years we need to apply for new visas. The government hasn't necessarily said, yeah, come in, stay with us, do whatever you like. So every 2 years we go through a new process of trying to get a visa again. And we're working with a lawyer with YWAM that is one of the top immigration lawyers of Western Australia. And he's saying, basically, Amy and I shouldn't have a visa anymore for Australia by this time. The way we've kept getting visas is a miracle itself. So God's just been providing for us opportunities, keep being there, even though legally, supposedly, should have not worked. Somehow it did. God's been good, and he's made ways in that way, and we believe that he'll continue. But our goal would be that we could get to a place, obviously, instead of having to constantly, especially with the family, trying to figure out, can we be there again? If we get a bad note from the government, we would have to leave within 30 days and we'll be like, see you later, drop everything that we have. So when we apply, we're trying to get a visa that will give us permanent residence. That's still a bit of process through that lawyer as well, but you can pray for that it will be a way for us. I'm doing some more training while I'm working so that we can get as best as I can get some training that will give us the ability to potentially get a permanent residence visa. So there needs to be a certain qualification for certain jobs that they only accept, and minimum salaries and all kind of things that need to be considered. Anyway, it's a long way to go, but it's a good opportunity that's never been there before. So we're really praying that God would open a door that we can kind of stop having to wonder every 2 years again. Because we did pray. We feel like, you know, this is where we've invested. This is where we continue to want to grow, invest, and see the nations being changed. So it would be nice to have that and not keep living on miracles, even though that's great too, because it's seeing God's miracles every day again. So, yeah. But it certainly give a bit of peace if we had something long term that would enable us as a family to really settle and commit to that as well.
All right. Anybody have any questions? Yeah, Al. Al, why do you have questions?
I'll talk to you at home.
He's like, you can answer it at home.
No, it's good.
Ask me. That's an insider question, obviously, because he had to house us for quite a while, so I guess he remembers. Yeah, in 2009, we were applying for a visa as well, and we went to Switzerland to do ministry, and we were waiting for that visa for about a year and a half, so we ended up in the States for quite a few months as well, waiting on the visa. We were in Switzerland doing ministry, but then also went to Mexico, but we were not sure if we get back again. That was in 2009, and God provided that already. But yeah, it's definitely a real situation that could happen anytime. So, yes.
Thank you, Al.
Do we have Wi-Fi? Yeah, in Australia, where we're in our offices and we have everything set up like here as well. So I got a computer I get to work at. Yeah, if we go out into the nations, sometimes you don't, but again, mobile access is really, really big everywhere you go. Like, you can actually often access through your mobile phone internet. You might not get clean water, but you get the internet. So it's true, you get Wi-Fi in a lot of places that you'd think we should have clean water first, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Stacy?
Okay. All right. The children are born both in Australia, but it's not like in America where you get an Australian citizenship when you're born there. It depends on your parents. So, but because Amy is American, they both have the American citizenship. And because I'm Swiss, they got a Swiss citizenship as well. So that's how we would travel through at the moment. Okay, well, how does Australia feel about Christian missions and ministries? It's a Christian nation, so that's a nice thing. Generally, it's still quite open, but I think we're facing the same thing in all of the Western world where Christianity is starting to get a little bit of a not so much looked upon, good upon anymore. And as a mission, we can't necessarily get funding or things like that from governmental or even other volunteer places because it's religious based, so that these days you don't give any funding anymore to religion, unfortunately. So which I forgot to say, YWAM, for the ones who don't know, that's a full-time volunteer organization, so none of us gets paid by the organization, so we're all raising our own support from the founder Lauren Cunningham to everyone that comes through YWAM. Funds their own way and costs. So everyone is a volunteer in YWAM, and that's how it works. So we're not getting funding from the government or any way. But yeah, it's not necessarily as easy anymore. But
that's why we're supporting them. Yes.
It's family, church. That's a lot of it. We got the privilege that Amy and I are married, so we both have our own churches before we got together, so we have two churches that are behind us and a lot of our friend circle and family that are basically saying, that's it.
Go ahead, Liz.
You facilitated.
Yes, we do. That's a short answer. I mean, there's different trainings and different things you can do in certain protection. The other thing is as well that we try and gauge the risk. With the new students, we're not just taking them quite everywhere, but long-term staff might build short-term teams or long-term teams. We have teams right now looking at going in Iran where I think as American you can't even get in with your passport, but others can. So trying to figure ways of how do we get in those nations. It's not always one answer, and it's not always just one training that gets there. But what we often see is just we haven't really had any problems with our teams anywhere. We've been protected wherever from violence or anything like that as well. And we've experienced when we go with local Christians, they're like, you can't go there. And as we pray and we go in, they actually find that, you know, people are not quite as scary and as bad always as we make them either. So actually is a lot of good response, and people suddenly open up, and locals are suddenly saying, wow, we can actually go there as well. We always thought we couldn't go into this place, and you went with us, and now we're realizing that we can actually go and love upon them. And when you love people, often you get a good response in that as well. So.
Yeah, Maria?
Yeah. The question is about the Aboriginals in Australia, the Indigenous. Yes, there's a lot of problems in there, just like we know in North America with the Indigenous as well, as of, you know, the white people came and brought a lot of hurt, and there's still a lot of wounding, still a lot of forgiveness that needs to take place and stuff from the government, and in between, there's still not a great relationship. There's a lot of alcohol issues within the Aboriginals as well. We as a missions try to focus on our country as well, so we're not just going to the other nations. When we're saying we're 78 nations, including Australia, and one of the Bible translation projects right now is we're targeting all the communities in Australia itself first, so we're trying to translate parts of the Bible with them and give them a tool that they can continue translating things as well. So we constantly go, we often make our outreach parts in Australia and parts overseas, so we're trying to reach out to them in our city and in the through nation, but you know, there's a lot of need still.
Yeah, so.
Of the filters that you showed us earlier, do you have like a general idea of like how many you guys have given to groups in the Western state that you're talking about?
The filters?
The water filters.
Oh, water filters. I know we've been extremely active with the water filters in Nepal and in India. In India, the government's even given some rewards towards the YWAM project, saying that's been one of the years they said there was a major transformation tool for India out of NGOs. So we got recognized in that. I don't have a count on it, but it would be quite a few. And I know we just raised finances for a local guy in Nepal that wants to build them. Those filters are pretty cheap, so we've given him money to make more, over 1,000 filters, and he just needs to also do it with the community. So there's not a count on it, I'm sorry. I don't have it. I'm sure maybe someone would, but I don't know it. Amy might know it.
All right, last question, Al, for you. Three's the limit.
Did everyone hear that?
Yeah.
So 20 people that get clean water, enough for each household to do dishes and cook and not to bath, but they don't need the clean water. They can still have a bath without that. Someone asked me about bathing before. Anyway, but our challenge is that a lot of technologies exist already for the rural situations, and there's a lot of technology there that we're not necessarily making everything new, but we're trying to target cities, and a lot in the cities, that's where the people live, that's where people move to more and more, they're becoming the hubs, and there's no solutions for cities. Everyone says it's too hard for us to do something in the city, it doesn't work in the city. So those simple technologies often are not developed for city kind of settings, and we're trying to target the cities a bit more as well. So one of the challenges is trying to make it work within the city in smaller space, gardens that grow up instead of sidewards, barrels, water filters that can be used in a smaller space rather than in big spaces. So that's what we're trying to also target specifically with the tech, a bit more those city solution multitude rather than just for maybe a small household.
All right. If you have more questions, you can ask Stevie after the service. They'll be here next Sunday too? All right. And maybe we'll give Amy a few minutes next Sunday. There you go. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. But let's thank Stevie for sharing with us this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Yep. There you go. So where do you want to put, where do you think would be the best place? Okay, I tell you what, let's just put them up here. There's maybe what? How many? Do you know?
About 30.
And so we'll put them up here and come and get one, put it on your fridge, pray for Stevie and Amy. The passport issue is a really big issue. And one of the ways that we can help is, of course, praying is the most important. Even the immigration guy says, listen, it's a miracle that you're still here on the visa. And so we want to pray. And then also it's going to require some extra funding for this lawyer that they're going to have to use to help them with that. And so if you want to give a special offering, of course, we support them on a monthly basis, and we're going to continue to do that. That's another way that we can help.